listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, you in the back row, I want to know if you're hearing me. You know, I got this big meeting here, and I'm wondering if you in the back row can hear me. And I'll tell you why it's interesting for me to know that. Because I don't know about you, but when I sat in the back row of places, it was because I didn't really want to be there. I didn't give a crap about what they were talking about. I had to be there to make somebody else happy. Or, you know, there might be an off chance that there was something useful in that time and place that I thought maybe I would look at. Well, you know, that's fine. And I'm not going to say, you know, you haven't done that. I've done it. But I have a question here. How much do you sit as an observer in the back row of your life? Because you think you don't have any say about what goes on. I mean, in the back row of this meeting here, the people way in the back, maybe they're listening. Maybe they're not even listening. They're on their phones, you know, looking at this or that or looking up some silly thing. Or maybe they're texting back and forth to a friend and wondering, you know, how long is it till the break or till lunch or till this meeting's over? Do you run your life like that? Like in the back row? Waiting for it to hurry up and be over, even one day. I can't wait for the day to be over. Now, I can tell you, I've lived a lot of days like that. I can't wait for the day to be over because maybe tomorrow's better. Today's been a disaster. This week has been a monumental catastrophe. And I can't wait till the weekend to get a break from the pressure and then hope tomorrow or next week is better. So if that's you ever, today's show is for you. I'm talking about you in the back row who are living in a victim place where life sucks, things are happening to you that are unfair and that shouldn't happen to you. Okay, so this is for you. So I'm going to ask you to like put your phone away and, you know, kind of sit up in the chair and at least give me 5 minutes of the show to see if I can get your attention about what's possible for you, because here's the truth. The truth is you can sit in the back row of your life all you want. You can, and here's what that means. Here's what sitting in the back row is like. I don't think that anything that I do or say is going to matter much to what's really going on stage. The problem is what's on stage is your life, your income, your job, your relationship. And when you get the feeling that you're just a bit player in your own drama, what you've done is you've given control away. You've given control of your life away. Now, you may think I'm nuts, or you may think that I'm not talking to you, but I am. And here's some examples. Anytime you say, I didn't have a choice, anytime you say that, you gave control away to somebody else. Anytime you said, oh, you know, my wife or my husband made me do that, or my boss told me I had to, or anytime, yeah, you know, just how it is. That's just the way things are. Or here's another really good one. Yeah, no, you put the phone down. Okay, cool. Anytime you say, it was their idea. You know, no, it's not mine. It's their idea. Not my fault. You're abdicating control over your life. Now, this whole program, Your Ultimate Life, is about a very specific and powerful principle that is absolutely true 100% of the time, all the time, every day, for every person. And here's the truth. You create your life. You create it one incident, one event, one thing at a time. Now, I can already hear the horror gasps and the angry tomatoes flying toward me. And you're probably saying things like what's going on in the Middle East or Ukraine and other things where terrifying and terrible things are happening that people did not ask for, do not want, are not fair, and are horrific. Sometimes even beyond our ability to comprehend. I mean, we haven't here. I'm in Canada, but I'm also from the U.S. I'm dual national. We haven't had a war over here or a real sense of hardship for decades. And so before my lifetime, right? And so we, for the most part, don't really understand hardship. We don't understand externalities forcing things upon us, like somehow being hungry and not knowing whether or not you're going to eat again or where you're going to get the food. Now, we have some of that in these countries. In the last 2 weeks, it's been freezing cold up here in Canada, where I've been. And I'm in Alberta, in Western Canada, and it's some of the coldest places on the earth. In fact, the coldest place in the world a couple of days ago was in northern Alberta. It wasn't even in the Northwest Territories, which is north of us, further toward the North Pole. On Sunday morning, the 10 coldest spots on earth were here in Canada. So during that time, one of the things we thought about as a family, when we said our grace at the evening meal, which we do, we were thinking about animals that had nowhere to go in the cold and homeless people. And, you know, we do what we can to contribute to those things and so forth. But I was really worried because at that temperature, frostbite is 20 minutes. And I'm reciting some stuff I saw on television. But frostbite comes in 20 minutes and you can easily die with 2 or 3 hours if you're not well protected in that kind of temperature. So those situations do exist. Now, I'm not talking about those extreme situations. However, the principles that I'm talking about apply in those situations. They're just much harder to do. So we'll give one example of that, and then I'm going to set that whole thing aside for a moment, because 99% of us do not live in life-threatening circumstances. You're not being held hostage. You're not being held at gunpoint. You're not starving to death, and you're not being forced to do stuff against your will, you know, with violence. Now, some may be, but very few. So the example I refer to often, and there are many, this isn't the only one, I refer to two of them. One is Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years, if I have my numbers right, in jail in South Africa because he was anti-apartheid, because he was considered a threat. And yet, in all that time, he didn't lose his power. He didn't lose himself. He didn't get vicious and bitter. He instead created himself to be a powerful person, even in the midst of all that awfulness. And then when he came out, was instrumental in changing political regime and the whole show. Another example is Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, who spent some years in a concentration camp, a death camp in World War II, and noted in his book two things. He said some groups of people in the death camp, sentenced to die at any moment, were wrapped up in their own misery, and others in the same death camp, in the same misery, at the same level of deprivation, made it a point to go around and give good cheer, encouragement, and love to those who were their fellow death mates. That's by choice. So the one group was creating a different experience for themselves and for others than the other group. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what's right or what you should do by no stretch. What I am telling you is that you do have control over your life. Now, given those extreme circumstances, we're going to set those aside because that's really difficult to do. Even though Viktor Frankl and Nelson Mandela and others did the same thing, Frankl also observed that there were many others besides him who were doing that sort of behavior. And that was what he was talking about, that it was impossible to take away the free will of choice about how to show up day after day in that terrible circumstance. So you and I, we have that will. And it's difficult to do in those kinds of horrific and terrible circumstances. But let's back up to the circumstances that most of us are in. Maybe like this meeting, or maybe day-to-day stuff, or maybe you've got some illness or other challenges or trials. But you still have control over your life. So here's the question. If you're sitting in the back row And sitting in the back row here is a euphemism for feeling like you got no control, abdicating your own ability to create life, like it's all others, the conspiracy, the government, family, people that don't like me, bosses, jobs. If you're doing that, here's a news flash. You can end that right now. You can end that right now. And here's what I mean. If you have a job you don't like, you may not be in a position to quit today. You could. And if you did, there are certain circumstances and consequences that would come from that. But remember the story of the Cortez and conquistadors who burned their boats, so they had no way out. Now, I'm not saying their attack on the natives was a good thing, but I'm saying it gave them a motivation to move forward without excuse. You and I, we have that same ability. We've just lost the chops. We've lost the courage to do that somewhere along the road. So I started this by saying, hey, you in the back row, because I want to tell you some stories today. These are stories of transformation where someone became aware of their own power. I'm not talking about external circumstances. I'm not going to tell you any stories about lottery winners. And I'm not going to tell you any stories about some external thing that changed the game. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about individuals who realized, perhaps for the first time, that they had absolute sovereign control over their lives. So I have a client. Now, this client has been a client for many years, and I've watched this particular client without still living in the same house, still in the same relationship, still with the same kids, and they got married during this time and had some grandchildren and stuff, went from feeling very victim, very smashed, like can't do anything, it's all these things, very unworthy, very focused on not good enough, all those kinds of things, made a change. Inside, alone, that person. Now, I happened to be a coach in that situation, so I helped, but I didn't do the work. This individual did the work. Barely getting by, worrying about money, literally every nickel, groceries, like that level of concern, to today, 40 times more wealthy, international import-export company, separate, more than one business, and I could go on and on. That change, there was no external circumstance. There was no lottery won. There was no, you know, big thing. Nobody died. It was simply a choice, a gradual, and it wasn't even sudden, a gradual realization. You know, I don't have to believe these things. I don't have to act like this. I don't have to believe this. And began doing different stuff. Now, let me tell you some of the things that were different. First, they learned, this individual learned to meditate. And you might say, what the frick does that have to do with anything? Sitting in a corner, Well, it doesn't really matter what method you use. There's a dozen methods of meditation. What matters, what really mattered, was the ability to be still. The ability to slow down and be still. Because this individual before, like many of us, had a busy mind, wake up, churn, so busy, frantic, all the stuff that needed to happen, all the stuff that didn't happen yesterday, all the stuff that was broken, all the stuff that was coming, all the worries, all the frustration, taxes, leaky roof. You know the drill. You have them too. Broken car, et cetera, et cetera. Gradually, meditation was just one process, but learning to be still does this. It allows you and I to disconnect from those pressures. It doesn't change the things. Taxes are still due and the car's still broke. But what I can promise you is when you have a clear mind and you're calm and relaxed, the way you look at any problem is completely different. So, for example, ideas would come. Oh, I know how to get financing to fix the roof. It was a commercial building. And before it was, I can't get this roof fixed. I have no money. Oh, I've got taxes due. And the prognosis was death and destruction and doom for the business. And that went to, oh, wait a minute. I could try this. I don't know if it'll work. And gradually, you know, problem solved, et cetera, et cetera. The only difference was a fresh view. But the most important difference was a determination that I'm not a victim. I am not a victim of circumstance. Now, I want to give you that gift. I want you to answer this question. In whatever thing's going on in your life right now, think of the most difficult circumstance where something has happened to you. It doesn't matter if it's taxes, divorce, loss of job, and something's happened, serious. What would happen if you said, I am not a victim? This thing has happened, but there is an opportunity here for me to create something. Now, I challenge you to make a choice. Now, that's a choice about how you look at it. COVID happened. I know some people that were crushed by it. Business changed. This happened, that happened, and they were crushed. Victim approach. It's all happening to me. Not fair. Can't do this. My business was just starting to take off. That kind of conversation. And so, yep, business was crushed and they lost everything. I know others, and I know a lot of folks because I'm a coach, and so I meet lots of folks, business owners, entrepreneurs, all kinds of folks who said, oh, wow, this sucks. I mean, like really sucks. What am I going to do? And they explored, you know, the PPP program, but they had the attitude of, I am not a victim. I am a creator. I create my life. And just because of that difference, they were able to see, create, and move into opportunities. So I know someone who said, my business is going to be shut down. I don't have any idea if I'm going to get through this. I'm going to have to close my doors. Today, years later, the business is thriving, making more money than it ever did. And yeah, they had temporary shutdowns and all kinds of stuff happened. But because of the approach, the choice to be a creator instead of a victim, they were able to do this. Now, I want to go back to the person in the back row. And I say back row metaphorically because I'm thinking about me. As I sat in the back row of my auditorium, the auditorium of my life, while my life played out on stage. You know, I'm supposed to do this. This is supposed to be my line. I'm supposed to act like this, show up like this, be that. And because I did that, life happened to me all around me. And it wasn't my fault. And I couldn't control things. And I barely got my head above water and so forth. I was one of those who lived in the land of victim, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but for decades. It took me a long time to wake up and realize what I'm sharing with you today. And the reason I am is because I'm hoping to save you a few years or maybe even a couple of decades. Because I want you to take the view right now. What would be different if you said, I'm the creator. I'm going to create something out of my life right now. Something new, something different. Just because I can. And a question that is so empowering in that kind of situation, instead of saying, oh, what am I going to do, is say, what is the most powerful thing I can do right now? The thing that will have the most impact, even if the impact's only tiny. I have another story. Told you I'd tell you some stories. I have a podcast, as you know, as well as this show. And the podcast is also called Your Ultimate Life. I interview people there who have stories, who have taken control of their lives and are, you know, adding good to the world. That's a phrase I love. And one of the things I love to ask people, and I'm asking you right now, how are you adding good to the world? Adding good to the world simply means making an intentional and conscious choice to leave the world a better place than you found it. Every day. every circumstance, even if it's a smile, a good word, a kind thought, getting out of your own introspection, getting out of victim mode, being there for someone else on purpose, making it a habit, making a choice to change from being a victim and looking at all the ways why things are hard and the universe is conspiring against you to all the ways that you, in a tiny little way, can make a difference. So I interviewed this lady on the podcast, Your Ultimate Life. And I was blown away. I was absolutely floored. I have a pretty exciting backstory about decades of depression and addiction and attempted suicide and, you know, failed marriages and everything else. And it's pretty disastrous and it's pretty dramatic. I was blown away by this lady's story, completely blown away. I was floored. I was speechless at the level of struggle that she had endured, that had been inflicted upon her. And instead of being a victim, which she was, of violence and a bunch of other things, she simply maintained her love of her child, protected her kid, got out of the negative situation, and is still to this day bearing terrible scars and struggles because of the physical things that happened for those years, but maintained a positive choice to add good to the world. So today she runs a business, training service dogs with love and kindness. She maintains diligent vigil over the daughter that she had in that difficult circumstance, who's a special needs kid. So the story just keeps getting more exciting. You know, massive abuse, having to get out of a situation, flat broke, shelters, you know, on and on and on. And now, you know what? I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to hold this. I'm not going to let this trash my life. Raising service dogs, taking care of a special needs child, and being intense, loving, positive, and powerful the whole time. She would give Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book, a run for his money. Now, I don't know that because there was no concentration camp involved. But it's the only time in my life, and I've interviewed hundreds of people, the only time in my life listening to a story, I was just floored. I was absolutely floored. And my eyes were wet with tears, and my hat was off, except I wasn't wearing one. And I thought, and she didn't look like, she didn't have a halo and didn't look like, super woman or super mom or super anything. Regular person who had made a choice to do that. And I can tell you dozens of stories that are like that. People who have died, people who have been abused, people who have gone through addictions, people who have cared for children who have gone through terrible circumstances, addictions and suicide attempts and actual suicide and then dying and then dealing with siblings and all of the rest of the things that come from those hardships. But the difference about that group of people is they said, yeah, that happened, but I'm not going to let it shape the rest of my life. I'm not going to let it beat me into a corner. I'm not going to let it make me into a victim so that the rest of my life is destroyed, so that I don't sing the song I came to sing. Now, I use that phrase. It was a talk I gave at an event a while ago, and the name of the talk was Don't Die With Your Music Inside. I know right here, right now, as sure as I'm talking into this microphone and looking at your beautiful faces, that you have felt you have a life purpose. You may not know what it is, but you have felt nudged. You have felt like, there's something I should be doing. It's that very feeling of discomfort that makes us think, this job isn't that fulfilling. I'm not really doing anything that matters. That is such a common theme. When I interview people for the podcast or people I have on this show here, and I ask them about that, without exception, I think without exception, they'll say, I was often in corporate or pursuing the traditional kind of thing. And it just got to a place where it wasn't satisfying. It wasn't fulfilling. It didn't mean anything. Well, here's the the truth about that. You and I are built, we're spiritual beings inside of a body. We're built to love and serve each other. So the fact that we have that yearning is to be expected. The struggle is that often we don't pay attention to, or we ignore those pushings, those prompting, those nudges, or those 2x4s. We just ignore them. And we say, not me, not now, I can't, it's too late, I can't because too many obligations, not the right time, and we fill the space with excuses. And here's the thing, you're free to do that. All that means is whatever opportunity was there at the time that was inviting you to come has now gone. That doesn't mean you won't have another one. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It just means that you said no. Now, in my case, I said no to those invitations. I said no to all kinds of opportunities to do. I had a good career and so forth. So it wasn't like I wasn't doing stuff. I was, but I was not happy. I didn't feel meaningful contribution. I said no until I was 52. Wow, that's a lot of decades. Finally, at age 52, which was in 2007, something happened that woke me up. And it was the beginning of my transformation. And even after that happened, I went to many conferences and I sat in the back row, metaphorically, because I thought, I'm here because I want to learn something. I'm here because I think there's some possibility. But as I would listen to people tell stories like me right now, telling you from the stage or from wherever it was, they got such a thing, but they had an advantage. They had friends. They had, some good breaks that came. They had, et cetera, et cetera. I can't do that. It won't work. I have lost track of the number of times that I said that sort of excuse. And as long as I said it, it stayed true. But gradually, as the years went by from 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, I moved up in the audience. I moved from the back row to the next to the back, to next and to the next, and then in the middle, and then leaned in, and then took better notes, and then got home and reviewed notes and thought, what can I really change? And I'm using metaphor like a big auditorium, but to illustrate the point, it doesn't matter if you failed before. It doesn't matter if you bought tons of projects and programs and things that have turned into shelf help. Projects and programs you've never finished. None of that matters. Yeah, it's a use of money and resources that maybe you regret, but don't regret it because it doesn't do any good. Beating yourself up over that sorry set of decisions not only isn't productive, but it's not even right, because what you've learned is the same thing I learned. Nothing changes if I expect to go buy a program to fix me. And that's all I do. That's like buying a gym membership. The 24-hour, and I have a client who runs a gym, and it's not one of those 24-hour key card gyms. It's one of the real heavyweight lifting people trained for, shows and competitions kind of gym. But we've had many conversations about the business model of those 24-hour fitness places. And I'm not talking about that branded one, but that model. And the model is oversell the memberships like crazy. You know why? Because people buy them and then don't use them. Well, that's just like shelf help. So it doesn't matter how many times you've done that in the past, 1, 10, or 100. The only thing that matters is today, as you hear this invitation, get up out of the back row of your life, realize, make a choice to realize I have the ability to control my life and create something powerful. I do, and I'm gonna do it starting now. I start today to make the changes so that I get a different result, a new result. And over those years, I metaphorically moved up from the back row to the middle to the front row, eagerly soaking up everything and then immediately doing what I could that made sense for me in my circumstance. And in that process, I went from broken defeated, not believing I could do anything, to creating things, to beginning to write books, to creating programs, to certifying as a coach, to sharing my story and journey of transformation all along the way. And then here I am now 16, now going on 17 years after I started with a very successful coaching practice, 19 books finished, and. And none of that's about, yay, Kellen, who cares about me? This is about you in the back row today. This is your invitation to get up today and move up a row. This is your invitation to say, you know what? Today I start. Today I start. Now, I just had a coaching call with a fabulous client who I dearly love, been a client for a number of years. And we were talking about this very process of making changes in life and how to do it and how to get started. And here's the metaphor or the example, the comparative example we used. This particular fellow is a masterful coach, a vocal coach. He also happens to be a client of mine, but he coaches very high level A-list stuff in Los Angeles. And I ask him a question, because what I'm working on with him as a client is we're working on the creation of a PTAC, a personal truth and commitment document. Now, you and I, we've talked about those before, but briefly to review, a personal truth and commitment document is just a document full of statements. They're statements that you either know are already true or that you want to be true for you. And that's not to brag. It's not for public consumption. It's not to run around and say, I'm going to make a million or I'm cool or I this, that. It's not even for anybody else. It's just for you. But here's how we talked about it. In his work with both aspiring and performing professional vocalists and actors and others, I ask him, so when you're working with a vocalist and they're getting ready to, like, you know, have a lesson or working on something, do you have them warm up? And he said, well, of course. Why do you do that? Well, they warm up because, you know, their voice gets ready and then et cetera, et cetera. Do you have a process you go through? Yeah, we have a process to go through. And then he elaborated and he made it even better. He said, yeah, we have a process to both warm up and to get the voice ready to learn more, to expand and to grow. And so that was a perfect lead-in for talking about this warm-up document that you have for your life. And this is the foundation for your change, for your opportunity right now to get up out of the back row where you believe you don't have any control, nothing will change for you, and you're going to be back there forever, up to the front row where this week you create something new, where by the end of January, something's different in your life, so that by spring, you're making more money, so that by summertime, you feel more alive and more connected and more purposeful and more driven. You think that's impossible? It's not. I have clients right now that are walking through these steps. So anyway, I asked him, I said, so you have this set of activities that you have your vocal clients do to both get ready for the rehearsal and get ready for performance and also to stretch their voices and get ready to do exercise. And he said, yeah. And I said, so why wouldn't it be true if that's a physical thing? You've got muscles and, you know, the vocal cords in your throat and everything, and you got to get them warmed up. Same thing if you're playing tennis or you're going to lift weights or whatever. You warm up so you can do better and not wreck things. Why wouldn't you do that for your life? Like your attitude, your mindset, your belief in yourself. And he went on and said, yeah, you know, it's really the same thing, because he noted that half of his work is about the actual technical process of singing, what to do with vocal cords and, you know, how you sit and breathe and all those things are physical actions. But the other half has to do with believing this business that keeps you in the back row. The other half has to do with whether or not an aspiring vocalist believes they can learn, believes they can get good, believes they can perform at that high level. And so half the work is mental. Half the work is the wall of disbelief. And so I said, well, does it make sense to you if you work on the physical aspects of warming the body up and the breathing and the posture and everything else and the vocal folds or vocal cords, if you have activities to warm those up, does it make sense that you'd warm up the mindset? You'd warm up your attitude, your belief muscle, your muscle of possibility, the visioning of yourself as a successful vocalist. And he said, well, of course it does. Of course it does. And then what occurs to me in that context is, you know, right now, professional athletes that are at the top of their game, it doesn't matter what the sport is, doesn't matter if it's team sports or solo sport, they talk about visualizing success, visualizing a successful shot, whether it's basketball or hockey or something, visualizing getting over the finish line, visualizing a completed performance. What does that do? Well, it changes how you think. And in our example, it gets your ass out of the back row from, I can't do this, it won't work, not me, not here, to up in the front row, where you not only are leaning into the possibility, but you feel energized and certain this is your time of growth. This is your time of production. Now, I don't care what your mission is. I don't care what your purpose is. It's the same no matter what it is. Now, we're built physiologically and spiritually to love and serve each other. We feel best when we're in community. We feel best when we're out helping. And that's why people volunteer to do all kinds of stuff. That's why you volunteered. Some easy examples. We've got volunteer stuff going on here. As soon as the Ukraine war started a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, next month, my wife, who's Ukrainian, she started diving into Facebook and figuring out what we could do and start buying Airbnb reservations in cities we'd never go to that were being attacked, and Airbnb stuff was still online. So we bought there. Why? Just so we could send some money over there. And then she started buying patterns and products that we never get because she wanted to add good to the world. Then we thought, what else can we do? What else can we do? What else can we do? So then we ended up getting in a Facebook group and hosting a Ukrainian family. So we have a beautiful mother and daughter here and have had since June of last year. So a year and a half plus and indefinitely, who knows? And those are just little ways that come from, I'm not going to sit in the back row. I'm not going to twiddle my thumbs and say, I can't do this. I can't stop the war. I can't fix the war in Israel. I can't stop the civil war in various African countries. I can't do that. But I can choose to add good to the world, to love and to serve. And so, hey, you, in the back row, this now is your wake-up call. Because you're free to do whatever you want. You're free to continue after you listen to this episode to sit in the back row and say, I can't do anything different. I don't have time. It's not my season. There's no way. Or you're free to ask a different question, which is, I know I can't do everything, but what is one tiny thing I can do today? What would happen if I got up tomorrow and spent 10 minutes in meditation? Just trying to connect with my inner self, calm the noise, get quiet, pray, meditate, whatever. I wonder what would happen if I did that. Not just once, but every single day. Because meditation is this weird thing. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Oh, really? Oh, you mean that's like everything else? Yeah. Because the first time you do that, try to sit quietly and empty, you know, or the racing thoughts and stuff, it's going to feel impossible. I can tell you, as a practitioner for 40 years, it's the most fabulous tool in the world. It creates clarity of mind. Inspiration and ideas come like magic. And peace comes, even in the midst of problems. Like, I've had my share. Even after my grand awakening in 2007, I had money I owed the IRS, and one day all my bank accounts were empty, and I get stories all over the place. But you know what? They don't matter. They don't matter. Those events are things that happen around you, and yes, they affect you. They may make you mad, and they may be unfair, and they may be all kinds of stuff. But you know what else they are? They're an opportunity for you and me to create our own world. I choose. I just had a conversation with a client last night. Not any of the clients I've been talking about. He's in the middle of a difficult business negotiation and had the feeling that the business person he was dealing with was treating him unfairly and ignoring some things and perhaps, you know, taking advantage and could have been bordering on, you know, bad stuff and didn't want to go there, but was feeling really frustrated about how things were going. We had a conversation back and forth via text. Calmness reigned. A choice was made to approach everything from the point of view of love, the point of view of kindness, of understanding, of working, looking for the positive possibilities. And I got a text message or long voicemail this morning. Everything worked out really well. There is possibility. Now, the financial problems aren't solved. The difficulties in the relationship aren't evaporated, but there was no more negativity. There was mutual agreement. There was togetherness. And believe me, that togetherness of purpose goes a long way to solving problems a million times faster than when there's a battle at the boundary between two people. So here's your invitation today. Two invitations. Number one, I want you to go to the URL that's on your screen, www.yourultimatelife.ca. What you'll find there is a free resource. It's not really free. It doesn't cost you any money, but it'll take some time and introspection and work. But it's called Five Master Keys to Create Your Ultimate Life. And by ultimate life, I mean that very thing that you think is impossible. That ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, where you get up every day and just love it. I used to believe with all my heart that was impossible, or if it was possible at all, it was for some people that got lucky or, you know, somebody over there somewhere. I was wrong, gratefully, and I have created that. I live in that place. I didn't fall there, and neither will you. No one that I know, and I know several who live that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, nobody fell up that mountain. All the people that I've interviewed on this show and on the other podcast, and they tell their stories and the stories of struggle, but they're always stories of choice, transformation, where they said, I choose to move from being a victim of circumstance. I choose to move from being angry at everybody because they're doing all this bad stuff to me. I choose to stop being angry at the universe or the economy or God or whoever because I got such a hard lot. I'm just going to dump that. I've been doing that and it hasn't served me at all. So I choose to move from that kind of life to a life of creation. Now, that is the fundamental first step, where you sort of thump your fist on the desk and say, I'm done. I'm done being a victim. I'm done blaming. I'm done with it. And you know what? It doesn't change a single thing about the circumstances around you. You know what it does change? It changes you. It makes you more resourceful, more capable. It makes you stronger. It makes you happier. It makes you able to see things you couldn't see before. It makes you more creative. And it gives you access, quite frankly, to power you don't have today. Really, power you don't have today. And you know what that power is? Creativity and love. Creativity and love do not come to us when we're being victims and we're angry and we're blaming. When you are in a state of wonder, a state of curiosity, a state of looking for the possibility, When I live and you live in that state, miracles can happen. I say that often to clients. I'll say, well, what miracle can we create today as we have our coaching session? Like, what kind of miracle do you want? And starting from the idea that miracles are possible, miracles are just things that happen that we can't explain. And just because we don't know how electricity works doesn't mean the light doesn't come on. Like, it is possible for you to completely change your life starting right now. And this is your invitation to do that. You can live your ultimate life. You, here, now. Now, I have never found a magic wand that does all of it in an instant, that suddenly, you know, makes that happen like a Harry Potter wand. But I have discovered and am sharing freely with you yourultimatelife.ca, the five keys that, for me, have unlocked the gates that lead to that ultimate life. So you're free, once again, to stay in the back row and think, yeah, I've heard all this rah-rah crap before. Or you can say, you know, I wonder if I do it differently, if I can make a different choice, if I can move forward and move up in the audience, to move up to the front and be there, all in. All right, now here's the other piece of reality. The fellow that is the A-list Hollywood vocal coach, no matter how good he is, if someone doesn't, and we talked about this too, if someone doesn't go do the exercises, they won't be warmed up. They won't perform well. My client that owns a gym, if someone doesn't come in regularly and do the exercises religiously, they won't get strong. They won't win their competition. They won't place. They'll be frustrated and negative. So having the secrets, having the master keys is the beginning. The next step is to make a determination for yourself, and only you can do this, that you're going to make changes, even a little ones, one change at a time. So, for example, never utter a word of complaint again. What would happen? Would you run out of things to say if you never complained again? Wow. Or what if you looked at your partner and you said, you know what? I choose that for the next week, the only things I'm going to say are positive, reinforcing, loving things. Just because I choose to, not because I'm going to get brownie points and not because I'm trying to prove something, but I've decided that's who I am. I'm a compliment giver. I'm a lover of this partner of mine. I choose to show it every day as much as I can. In fact, I'm going to monitor every word just before I say it and say, is this loving? Is it kind? Is it uplifting? You could apply the same approach to conversations at work. Let's say you manage a team. I'm not talking about making up crap. Even if you have to correct some things or make some adjustments, doing it out of a place of love and lifting will get results. Idiot stick, you screwed that up, fix it. Might get the thing fixed, but it's not going to create loyalty, and it's not going to get people who want to work for you, and it's not going to create unity in your team. So I challenge you to pick two things, one, two, and if two is too many, pick one, that starting today, you're going to get off your ass out of the back row where you believe nothing works for you and you've heard it all before, and come up to the front and bask in the energy of possibility, because you can have whatever you want. It starts with one thing. What if your one thing was every word you say to yourself, inside and outside? If you take nothing away from today, do this. Monitor every word, every attitude, every sigh, every eye roll that you direct toward yourself, your own capability, your own worth, worthiness, and change it to something positive. Every word is an acknowledgement of your effort. Every word is an acknowledgement of your worthiness. Every word is an acknowledgement of your divinity. Every word is an acknowledgement and encouragement of your possibility. I dare you to spend a week going down that road. Every word. And if you screw up, that's fine. Forget it. Forgive it and forget it. After all, it's probably a brand new habit. It's probably like, holy crap, I can't do that. You should hear my internal dialogue. It is so negative. I believe you. I live there. So I challenge you. And if you screw up, fine, screw up. But forget it. Forgive it. Yesterday minute. And start over. I have a statement in my own document that says I am, that when I fall or fail in any declaration, I get up, fess up, clean it up, and recommit. And that especially includes language and attitude and feeling, you know, toward myself. You suck, I can't, it won't, all that stuff. There's your challenge. If you take nothing else, do that. Let's see how much you can change just in 1 week in furiously and fiercely loving yourself as the divine being that you are, as the capable creator you are, as the person who is committed to doing something different. Get out of the back row, come up to the front, bask in the opportunity of your divinity, your power to change, your power to add good to the world, and your power above all things to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.